Hi, Pastor Vic here with another Nugget of Truth, podcasting from historic Hyde Park in New York, which is in the United States. I'm Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author, and I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity, but from a biblical perspective. And my focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. We're continuing in our series on the grace of Jesus Christ, which is really talking about the gifts that Jesus has given. You may recall my saying that God gave Jesus as a gift to us. Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit as a gift to us, but he also gave us the fivefold ministry, which we talked briefly about in our last episode. So again, in the last episode, we looked at the fivefold ministry gifts that Jesus gave to the church. And the gifts are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. And all of that is found in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now, it's important to understand what a gift is in this context. A gift from God is a gift of grace. And what I mean is that the gift from God is unearned and undeserved. Salvation is such a gift of grace. The apostle Paul makes it very, very clear that the moment you try to earn or work for God's gift, you void the gift or you nullify it. Look at the following verses. In Romans 4:4, Paul says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Then in Romans 11:6, Paul says, "If by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work." Sort of a tongue-tied explanation there, but you can't have two at the same time. And then in 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." These and many other scriptures in the New Testament make the case that the words grace and gift are interchangeable. Now, how does this apply to the fivefold ministry? Well, think of this phrase, the fivefold ministry. Are they servants or are they to be served? As I mentioned in the last episode, the fivefold ministry gifts describes functions. They're not titles. The function describes what they do and how they are used to bless the church, the body of Christ. The church in this case describes the people of God, not a building, organization, or denomination. The overall function of the fivefold ministry is to create the smooth, effective operation of the body of Christ. That the body of Christ would work in harmony, working together, advancing the kingdom of God. So the fivefold ministers are really servants to the body of Christ, or the church. They serve the church by leading the church body to serve Jesus. Now, I know that may sound confusing to say that they serve by leading, but that is exactly what a fivefold minister is. He or she is a servant leader. The church does not serve the minister. It's the other way around. The church or body of Christ serves Jesus as the minister serves the church. Since Jesus gave the gifts of the fivefold, here's a question to think about. Do we appreciate the gift, or do we appreciate the gift giver? Now, of course, we should appreciate the gift giver more than the gift. The conclusion of all of this is that the fivefold ministry gifts are given to the church to serve the church. If you happen to be called to the fivefold ministry, then the burning question you must ask yourself is, am I here to serve or be served? All of us, whether we're clergy or lay people, are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the pattern for serving? Well, as the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church, he stated the following, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That was 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 11. Isn't that exciting? We are God's fellow workers in the ministry. What a glorious thought that is. We're not just working for God, but we are working with God. And when we use the word ministry, again, we often think of the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But remember what Jesus said. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you may ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. That was John 15, verse 16. Now, what does it mean to bear fruit that remains? Well, to understand this phrase, it means that we must look at this issue from God's perspective. If you're a minister, you know, or as I am, we often think in terms of attendance and finances as a measure of success or producing fruit that remains. Now, attendance and finances are necessary to successful ministry. These things are not at the center of God's heart. John 3:16 clearly states God's heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God has made his desire known, and that desire is for the redemption or the salvation through Jesus Christ of every person from every tribe and every nation on the earth. The ministry is the means by which he will accomplish this great commission through you. Now, what's the pattern for ministry in the scriptures? Well, in Ephesians 4:11, he gives us the fivefold ministry, and then through verses 12 through 16, he tells us or shares with us how we're to function together. Now, remember, verse 11, Jesus gave five gifts to the church. They are, again, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now keep in mind that these names describe functions rather than titles. It's common to find people that don't have the title, but very effective in performing God's function. But the opposite is also true. There are those who have the title, but they are not performing God's function. Verse 12 points out two important functions that all fivefold ministry gifts have in common. That is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to edify the body of Christ. God's not called a fivefold ministry to do the ministry by themselves. Think of this. Even Jesus trained 12 disciples, who in turn trained others to reach the entire world. If your vision for ministry is all about you, then you have a very, very small vision. Ministry is about edifying, encouraging, and equipping the believers, the body of Christ, to do the work of the ministry. You see, ministry is not about you doing everything. By training others to do what you do, you are, in effect, multiplying the impact of your ministry and, of course, the kingdom of God. We make the greatest impact upon our community when we train others to do what we do. We should be training and creating opportunities for everyone in the church to preach, to teach, to evangelize, to intercede, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to continue the reach of the ministry by training them to be trainers of others. Then in Ephesians verse 13, the goal of the ministry is threefold. And it states, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To work towards producing maturity and agreement of God's truths. That's Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. To help others to come to the knowledge of Jesus. This means we're helping others to establish a personal relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's John 17, 3. And that to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ means to be like Jesus in character and integrity. And that's illustrated by the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5:22, but as well as the authority and the power demonstrated by the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. Then in verse 14, it describes what we are to avoid in the ministry. And it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Because of evil in the world, we must discern between righteousness and unrighteousness. In Colossians 2:8, the Apostle Paul states, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Then in verse 15, we're told what we're to try and establish in the ministry: love and to become like Christ. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. As God is love, 1 John 4:8, so should we be because of Jesus in us. We are to be conformed to be like Jesus. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's Romans 8:29. Then we see in verse 16 why we need each other in the ministry. The body of Christ, the church, is made up of many parts, each one dependent on the other for growth and edification. It says, "From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So, as we conclude, we need to recognize that we are co-laborers with the Lord, and that our focus must be His agenda. We will be successful in fulfilling the call of the ministry as we invest our lives into the people of God, the people that God sends to us. The Lord will do His part and invest in us. That's Matthew 6:33 through 34. Fivefold ministry leaders must be helping others to be successful in life and in the church. And the way we accomplish this is to be an inspiration of hope, healing, and wholeness to the body of Christ. Thanks for listening to this nugget of truth. And if you like our program, you want to hear more, or you want to see more, then I'd encourage you to go to www.pastorvicsnuggets.com. or simply www.pastorvic.com. Or you can just simply go to whatever source you go for your podcast, and you'll find us under Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.